under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be talking about today an issue that should be on the hearts and the minds of each and every one of us. Celebrate America. Thanksgiving. Saying thank you, Lord, for giving us a nation that's the best nation on the face of the globe. Thank you for giving us life and health and strength. Thank you. I pray that you're celebrating Thanksgiving and the way and the manner that I believe God would have us to as citizens. But ladies and gentlemen, we're walking in a day that I think is perhaps the most dangerous time in America. Listen, you say, how can that be possible? We're to be thankful and yet recognize that we're living in perhaps the most dangerous time in our nation. We must celebrate America even in the dark days. Listen, you say, well, how can you call it dark days? We've just elected President Donald J. Trump. That gives us new hope. It does. That gives us new vitality, and I believe that it does. I believe that it gives us the opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for delivering us from the jaws of the enemy one more time. But at the same time, we need to recognize, I believe in the next almost 60 days, I believe we're witnessing, will witness, perhaps some of the most dangerous, dark, difficult, devastating days in American political history. I believe we're witnessing the time that we are going to see major things taking place that perhaps you didn't think about. But even with all of that being said, we need to be thankful for what God has done. You listen, we have the socialist Marxist media that's saying that we're divided as a nation. Have you ever pulled up online the map of America, the election map with the red and blue? I'm told that just the blue, the red that shows up on the map, the election map, that we're like 97.5% or 96% united. We're not divided. We're united. America is together. America is celebrating today the fact that we have had the election. Even though some say we're divided, we're not divided. Across America, especially when we view that red and blue map, we see that we're 97% plus together, not divided. We are in unity. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a sad element if you want to use that in pun. I'm looking at a letter from the Congress of the United States signed by Darrell Issa, a member of Congress, and he's written it to the Honorable Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State. He says, "Dear Secretary Blinken, as a senior member of the House of Foreign Affairs Committee, I write to you regarding the report of the official post-election State Department therapy and listening session. I am concerned that the department is catering to federal employees who are personally devastated by the normal functioning of American democracy through the provision of government-funded mental health counseling because Kamala Harris was not elected president of the United States. Instead, on November the 5th, the American people resoundingly elected Donald J. Trump as the 47th president of the United States, a decisive repudiation of 4 years of failed Biden-Harris policy. It is disturbing that ostensibly nonpartisan governmental officials would suffer a personal meltdown over the results of a free and fair election. something the United States champions around the world. It is unacceptable that the department accommodates their behavior and subsidizes it with taxpayer dollars. He goes on to say, how many of these sessions have you conducted? What materials were used during the sessions? How much of these sessions cost the department? How much did it cost the department? Are these sessions being conducted overseas? Has the department had similar sessions in the past? If so, what events prompted them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Ladies and gentlemen, supposedly in the U.S. State Department, that they're so saddened, so stricken with grief over the loss by of the election by Kamala Harris, that they're having to have counseling sessions, therapy sessions, to keep them employed by the State Department. Listen, I would say if you have a problem with that, there's the door. We'll find someone to replace you. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to get at today is to understand that we have some serious things still taking place. Notwithstanding that fact, we need to be praising God, thanking God as Christians, conservatives, and patriots that we have an America. And we need to thank God for that. And thankfulness means saying, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's looking at what we call the weaknesses, looking at the places in America where there's faults and failures. Yes, we're not perfect, but we need to be thankful today as we're saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for giving us a free nation. Ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, let me remind you that we face the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, the Bible gives us a validation of the word of God. John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I'm thankful that we have a solid rock, a solid stand, a foundation to stand on as a nation today. It is a fact that we have failures and problems. It is also a fact that we are the freest nation in all of the world, and we need to say thank you, Lord, for it. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. But I'm here to resoundingly say, truth matters. Whether you're on the left or the right side of the aisle, as the old cliche goes, truth still matters. But yet we have those in America today, the younger Americans, as the article calls it. This article says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Yet the article opens with a brief definition from the Webster's Dictionary. It says, truth is the body of real things, events, real facts, real actuality, and the state of being the case in fact. But yet 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, the millennials, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They go on to say each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, half-truth is a whole lie. And you cannot bifurcate truth. You still have a lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says in part this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Love the truth, live it, learn it, listen to it, defend it even to death. Jan Hus also made a powerful statement. I've got a whole list of his quotes, and I'll just touch on one of them. It says, do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing on what is truth. That was the major emphasis of Jan Hus. Even when he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out with his final breath, truth shall prevail. And I say that today. We may not see it immediately, but the bottom line is truth will prevail. Truth will prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291, that is 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. It'll help you find Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing atop that flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Find the flag in the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Let me go back and recap a couple of brief statements, and then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll introduce our very special guest that's been with us before, but I enjoy having him with us. We'll talk about it in a moment as we talk about Celebrate America and the need for the Thanksgiving today with what God has given us in a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be thankful. We're not divided. 97% plus are together. When you look at that red and blue map across America, we're 97% plus together, not divided. Most Americans are celebrating Thanksgiving with a fresh new hope, with a new anticipation, with a real anticipation of a better tomorrow as a result of our presidential win. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in harmony with that. Now listen, that doesn't mean that Donald J. Trump is a perfect person. That doesn't mean that Donald J. Trump's cabinet pick all will be perfect individuals. That's not saying that at all. But I believe we need to release what he is doing and allow God to work through him and use him. Listen, I've said just a moment ago to our guest before we went on the air that most of political leaders fail to recognize that God's plan for civil government is that the civil governmental leaders that we elect and place in position, they are to look at it and understand, according to Romans chapter 13, that they're first and foremost servants of God. So if we look at it in the hierarchy in this fashion, that governmental leaders need to look at it as they need to obey God, and secondly, our Constitution, and then we, the people, will fall into the third position, and as a result of that, we'll not have problems with civil government. The problem is most civil servants today fail with the understanding that they're not God. They're not in control. God is. And as a result of that, they need to have the goal, the ambition, the attitude, and the aim of serving God and pleasing Him. President Trump has nominated his cabinet, ladies and gentlemen, and his leadership team at what I call lightning speed. Now all the pundits and all the anti-Trump group, all of those that have a Trump derangement syndrome are now clawing their hair out, hair on fire, and screaming their lungs out that there's a problem with his picks. They feel emboldened because Matt Gaetz dropped out of the nomination, removed his nomination for the Department of Justice, the Attorney General. Ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't just willy-nilly, harum-scarum decision. If you want to know the truth of it, my most humble opinion, you put it in your little book and count on it. Let's see what God does in the future. I, as the little book of Amos said, I'm not a prophet and the son of a prophet, but I believe what's going to happen, the negotiation behind the scenes, was that Pam Bondi will be the one that will be approved for the Department of Justice, and she will then call to herself as the administrative assistant or as the assistant attorney general or the state or the special prosecutor. You know who that will be? Matt Gaetz. I believe he is not out of the picture at all. I believe he's still, even though he's not, quote, running the race to be besmirched and his reputation destroyed further, there were some inequities. There's some problems in his background. I understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the way it's going to fall out in the very near future. Some even advocating for the Trump's nominees to be looked at through the background of the FBI searches. Need to have a background check from the FBI. Ladies and gentlemen, what they're saying, when they say they need to have an FBI background check, they're saying let's do a little foot dragging, and for an FBI background check, it'll take 3 to 6 months on each of the nominees. If we go through the regular, listen to, hear me well. If we go through the, quote, regular process of the Senate hearings for the Senate consent and approval, 6 months to 12 months down the road, Trump may have half a cabinet, half of a cabinet. Ronald Reagan went through some of the same problems. So my advocacy is very clearly, the law allows it, the Constitution allows it, the Supreme Court's modified it somewhat, but Trump needs to wait until the new Senate goes into session, and immediately after the new Senate goes into session, let them go into recess for 10 days. U.S. Supreme Court in 2014 says any recess appointments needs to be in a recess of at least 10 days. That was done because of a suit against Barack Hussein Obama, and the U.S. Supreme Court then ruled against what Obama was doing, was every week or every couple of weeks having a recess period of time of 1 or 2 days, and then making the appointment. So the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the president has that authority, but it must be on a 10-day recess and not just willy-nilly, as every now and then, a 2 or 3-day recess just for that purpose. But I believe that Trump needs to do that. I believe it needs to be circumventing the naysayers, the hair pullers, the Trump derangement syndrome people, and go ahead and get his cabinet in place so that he, by the end of January of 2025, I believe Trump needs to have his cabinet in place and needs to start with a running start to be able to get accomplished what he said needs to be done. Those things of which today, as we celebrate and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, we're saying thank you, God, for giving us that. I believe we need to go back, ladies and gentlemen, to American history and recognize from George Washington on that the presidents have had the privilege of having a recessed appointment for their cabinet members and for those that they want to put in office. Listen, if Trump goes through the Senate consent process, I believe he'll have, as I said a moment ago, part of his cabinet 6 to 12 months from now. Today, in America, the Marxist socialist left are rapidly establishing, as one writer calls it, the shadow government. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today, and he's a regular guest on our show, and I'm thankful that he's willing to take time to come and, as I call it, job on with me for a while. But I'm thankful for James Crandon. James is here. He's the faith leader for Citizens Defending Freedom. James, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and this special occasion to come and let's talk about Celebrate America.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a privilege, Dr. Youngblood, and I look forward to it. Hopefully we can let your listeners know some new facts and open up a whole big can of gratitude and thanksgiving about what the Lord has done for us. A little fun fact, during the treacherous crossing, I bet our listeners didn't know, I didn't know as I researched it, that in 1620, the small ship called the Mayflower that left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers of sort, religious separatists and so forth, seeking a new home. It took 66 days, and isn't it interesting? There's 66 books in the Bible, and it took them 66 days to make their way over here and to start things.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that.
I never heard that. And some of the menu items, it's not specifically noted, but some of the things that they think were on the menu as well, of course, turkey and deer and things like that, but lobster, seal, and swans.
How about that?
Are suspected to be on the first Thanksgiving menu, which, yeah, it's interesting as you dig into it. And, of course, there's some dispute and debate over what, because what was taken was from people's notes, and the captains and some of the people on the ship that were kind of running things had ledgers.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, too, yep. Because I find it fascinating, James, that the first two, the 1620 celebration of Thanksgiving, the 1621, yep. The vast difference, and yet I believe the second Thanksgiving, we'll talk about that in a moment, the abundance of it was as a result of the first Thanksgiving and the state and the condition where so many had died and there was a deprivation of food and sustenance, and yet they still thank God. That's the key to
Had gratitude, were grateful for what they did have, yes. What little it was. And I didn't realize that the second in 1621, that festival lasted for 3 days.
Yes, it wasn't one day. Was it?
Yeah, it was 3 days.
That's the reason I've always said, just as with Christmas, in celebrating the birth of Jesus, it ought not to be relegated to just one day a year. Thanksgiving ought not to be relegated to just one day a year.
Yeah.
That should be in perpetuity for every American, for every citizen, for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm good. And
morning.
I agree with you. Good morning. How are you all doing? And I agree with you totally that when you get up in the morning, say thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to, because the alarm clock did not wake you up.
Brother, I like
that.
Exactly right.
Yeah, there's the power of God to wake you up.
That's right. It's the finger of God that pushes on and says, get out of that bed, you lazy head.
Yeah.
I believe we need to recognize that. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. And I want to thank, I'm going to tell you the truth. You might get mad at me. I want to thank God for giving us a reprieve. Like, as you know, I'm over 70. God giving us a reprieve over these Marxist people. And they are going to try to do everything they can because they're putting their hair out. They're really pissed off. Obama, I know he's not in his basement, but I bet he's running around trying to pull some pranks. I believe.
Well, Kenneth, I'm going to read a headline. I'm going to read a headline and then a couple of paragraphs in it. Insiders confirm Democrats are lining up a shadow government to undermine elected president. The elected president. I'll read two paragraphs. There are left-wing organizations forming and a network of existing organizations picking up the shadow government banner and calling for opposition to the agenda of President Trump while making plans to defeat him even before he takes office. Further, it says an insider has confirmed Democrats' plans for a shadow government or a shadow cabinet that would have the goal of undermining America's elected president, Donald J. Trump. You're now starting to see spots of messaging of how they plan to challenge the agenda of President-elect Trump. Last week, one-term House member Wiley Nichols, Democrat of North Carolina, in what can only be described as a Democrat fever dream, proposed a shadow cabinet, which appears to be either desperate attempt to retain power by the Democrats. There are left-wing organizations forming a network of existing organizations picking up this shadow government banner and calling for the opposition of Trump while still making plans to defeat him and or prevent him from taking office. And the article goes on with about five pages about that. So, Kenneth, do you believe that it is possible that Democrats are trying to, in some way, undermine, tear down, and destroy the potential of Trump going in? If so, listen to this. If that is the case, and I believe that it is, should we still say thank you, Lord, for America? Thank you for Trump. Thank you for the election. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Should our Thanksgiving be in some way guarded by what we see as difficult days before us, or should we yet be thankful anyway?
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I tell you what. I'm thankful that people are waking up.
Yes.
That's why Trump got elected. People are waking up and seeing what they're doing. Like you say, it's really going to be communism. They're going to control they want to control everything. Should I say it like that? They want to control you. They want to control this country. They want to do what they want to do. And they've let so many terrorists in here with the open border stupidness. I don't know. It's sad for them. I hate to be them standing before God.
It is very sad, and yet at the same time, what I'm wanting our listeners to understand today, Kenneth, is one little simple fact. What we have as a great nation, though some of the foundation has been washed out and destroyed in the past 4 years by the Harris-Biden Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats, though that has really happened. We're not going to try to whitewash that or try to pass that by. That's truth. That's fact. And can be demonstrated and proven in a thousand different ways. But even with that being said, as you mentioned just a moment ago, God divinely intervened to give us another opportunity as a nation through the election. And that election took place with Donald J. Trump having the majority of the populist vote and having the majority of the Electoral College vote that gave him a landslide, demand, if you want to put it in those terms, for him to lead America and get us back to the foundational fundamentals of American culture and American as we know America as we know it today. So I'm thankful for that, and I want our listeners to be thankful. I want us to understand that regardless of what happens in the next 60 days, we yet ought to be thankful. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and wishing you and your entire family a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, celebrate America. We need to celebrate our nation for what God has given us. Celebrate our nation for what God has done, is doing, and shall do in America. Well, I'm not going to toss in the towel and forget and somehow trash America and say it's hopeless. It is not hopeless as long as God's still on the throne, and God is. We have our special guest today with us, James Crandon. James is the faith leader with Citizens Defending Freedom. James, pick up on that thought and just give our listeners some thoughts as to how we should be thankful, what we should be thankful for as Americans, as citizens. Notwithstanding, we have difficult days before us, but we still should be thankful. What are your thoughts? How do you respond? What do you say today?
What I would say today is we should always, always realize that man is not in control. God is in control.
Amen.
And even though, and we talked about this off the air briefly, that a lot of people are kind of in shock about the fact that we won this and we did get a redemptive victory here. The people spoke. It was heard. It was listened to. It was heard. And the result is this election. But we can't forget that we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be grateful for. But think about this as a reset. We've let our country gradually and slowly be taken away from us and given government more power than God had. As they quietly brushed God out of the way of business and commerce and the pulpit and convinced some pastors that they couldn't preach something like an Election Day message. Mm-hmm. And there was a few brave ones out there in the darkness that were still light for the kingdom of heaven. But I would tell you that we're now looking at what's happening as America takes it back. They're realizing there is a divine creator, that, and his name is Jesus, that God created heaven and earth. We're believing in that divinity. There are inalienable rights, and those rights come from God. The government exists to protect those inalienable rights, and that's it. We kind of joked about that. The government really has a couple of big jobs, and that's it. And they've botched all of them.
That's right.
One of them is to protect the people, their borders. Mm-hmm. It's a complete soup sandwich, what's happened with our borders. And they've tried to turn the tables on us and say, well, we're not being Christ-like if we're not letting people in. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is there has to be some vetting. There has to be legal immigration. But yet they've taken a ridiculous topic like that and tried to twist it because the father of lies is in control of that. And I think the government has been penetrated by that evil, and that's why many people have gotten frustrated, because it's such a big monster now, little by little. But as we wake up, think about the difference between now and 10 years ago. We didn't have a Truth Social or these various different ways for the general public to get different information.
Took weeks. They used to. Took weeks then.
Yeah, and now it's almost instantly. Okay. Now you have to discern it, and you have to go back to the truth book and look at the Bible. And I'll shut up, but you ask me, what do I think? I think, what does Philippians 4, 6, and 7 say? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition make your requests known to God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses, or in some translations it says, transcends all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Who doesn't want that kind of peace?
That's right.
We do. and we're claiming it back.
And that peace, as you noticed in that Philippians 4 text, verse 5, 6, and 7,
yeah,
that peace comes when we make our request known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace that passes all understanding,
amen,
shall encircle your heart. And so if we want peace today, the way to do that is to recognize that God is still on the throne.
Amen.
We need to thank Him and thank Him and thank Him some more. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about celebrating America in this Thanksgiving season. I pray that you'll stay tuned. We're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.